Savior. And I felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I'm not the same. The prodigal.
Chapter number 15, if you brought your Bible. They were talking about in that song, Yesterdays Are Gone. You know, that's a reference to before you got saved. That's what it means. The day you got saved, a change can happen. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. That change, you're no longer the same. You may not understand it when you're going through it. In other words, you just know you got born again. You may not understand all the A, B's, and C's of it, but that burden that you carried is no longer carried. That sin you had is no longer there. Let me go on. Luke chapter number 15. I want to read just one verse of Scripture. Verse number seven. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, God, of being in your house. But God, we just thank you, Lord, for loving us. Oh God, how we must thank you and praise you and glorify your name for what salvation means to us. Help us through the day. Help us through this hour. Speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar scripture if you've been in church a while, but maybe not if you haven't been. I want you to listen to the words, for it says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. That repented. I like that word repenteth. That means it's past tense. But he repented more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? There's joy in heaven. There's joy in the presence of angels. Now, whenever I believe that whenever you die, I believe that you get to go and change locations, okay? I don't believe it's them walks in the streets of gold just yet. I just bear with me, okay? But I believe it's one of them things where you get to go and be where the Lord is, all right? And wherever the Lord is, it's going to be just fine, okay? Because there's going to come a better day down the road, but we're just going to give it at that, all right? But what does it mean? Now, we remember the scripture that said, listen to this part, whenever the Lord appeared on that night and he was born, the Bible said there was a visit from angels to shepherds and other folks that was along the way. And they said, I want you to know, let it be joy. And talks about glad tidings, you know. And there's going to be great joy. I don't know how to describe this. Angels were dispatched to us, okay? Now you might have come across shepherds in the field. Now, them shepherds, they had no reason to smile. Okay? They had no reason to smile. You don't see a smiling shepherd out there in the field taking care. If they are, they're half crazy, all right? Because there's no reason to smile. There's no reason to be happy. You're watching over sheep, the same thing you do every day, just like the way you work. You know how you work? You work with a frown on your face. You're not happy. You say, oh, I'm just going to get up today and I'm going to go to work. If you are, we're going to have a talk. You got to tell me what drugs you on, okay? Because it just don't happen that way. We're not happy in what we do. But on that day, on that day, angels came and visited. And on that day, they had a message. Now, that message didn't say, I'm happy, the angels. I'm happy. I'm always happy. Let me share a little happiness to you. That ain't what they said. They didn't have the story of joy and gladness and peace and happiness. They can't talk about those things. They might be able to do some things, but they don't have the same song that we can sing. All right, they don't have that redemption plan. They don't understand that part. They were created by God, but they don't have that little part of it. You see, the goodness that God has given us, he give us a free will. He give us an understanding heart, a heart that's sometimes broken, but a heart that can be happy, a heart that can be joyful and create gladness and have happiness and have peace that passeth all understanding when we understand the Lord. Now, when they give that message, when they give the message, oh, there's going to be great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, that was a message. Now, if we thought, well, let's go to heaven where we can talk about that message. Well, that wasn't the best day. I mean, it was a good day. The Lord had to come. He had to come in the form of a baby. He had to come to be born. But that wasn't the best day. That was a good day, but it wasn't the best day. Here we go down through time, and whenever Jesus died on Calvary's cross, whenever he died, boy, that was a good day. That was the best day. But still, we got to have more than that best day. What the best day is, whenever he resurrected from that grave. That was the best day. And that was the best day for the Lord.
Man, we can go back through that Bible and we can go through all those things in Scripture, and every one of us as a cumulative person, every one of us together can rejoice and be happy. But really, the true happiness is when you get saved. Now, what I mean by that, everybody in heaven right now can be rejoicing, and they can be happy, and they can be peaceful, and they can do all those shouting and things that they do in heaven. But if you're not there, if you're not present, if your presence is not in the presence of the Lord, if you're not there, something's missing that's very vital. There is no heaven without you. Now you listen. Because it only means something if you're there. Oh, I've got loved ones that's already there. I've got loved ones that's saved, but I've got loved ones that's lost too. Friend, heaven is going to be real for all those folks that's my loved ones. In fact, in reality, they can talk better than I can talk. They can rejoice better than I can rejoice. But you stick with me just a moment. If you're not in heaven or not going to be in heaven, friend of mine, there's not many alternatives that will bring joy and peace and happiness. No, sir, there's none. There's zero. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of angels. There's joy in their presence. So these angels, they up there, they got a message. They can say, hey, God told us to come and let you know Jesus was born. And the Bible says that there was a time when God could have called angels and they'd have come and been able to take Jesus up the cross. But they don't have the ability unless God allows them to do something. They are created beings for that reason. In heaven, they can just sit there and be not on a log. But me and you have a different message. We have a different meaning, a different understanding, a different reason. Why would there be joy in heaven? Why would there be joy in the presence of the name? Why? And here's the answer. Over one sinner that repents. One. One. One sinner that I don't quite understand. I don't understand why there is such. Friend, whenever you're lost, who do you care about? When you're lost, who is the number one person in your life when you're lost? That's easy, isn't it? You are. You learn to be self. In fact, when you was a kid, you probably got beat to death, or you should have got beat to death for having selfish ways. You don't share, you don't get. Boy, that was a good one, wasn't it? And when kids are born in this world, that's one of the earliest things they pick up on, detect. They don't like to share. They like to be selfish and stingy and all those things. And boy, we like to beat it out of them and say, you don't share. And friend of mine, we grow up lost without God with the same things. We want stuff for me. Mine. Mine only. Selfish ways. What in this world? Heaven. Here is people that are rejoicing not because their loved one got saved, but because anyone got saved. God changes our heart. God doesn't leave us with an old sinful heart. God doesn't leave me with my selfish ways. God made a new creature, a newborn creature out of me, and having a newborn creature put inside of me. I'm a new man. And because I'm a new man, oh sure, I got problems in this world. But because I'm a new man, God changes the way that I think. And when God changes the way that I think, the more time I spend with God, the less I think about the world. The more time I read my Bible, the less troubles I have in the world. The more time I get in conversation about what goes on in heaven, friend of mine, I don't think about the things that's going on in this world. You know what me and you need? We need a big dose of heaven this morning. We need to understand how important it is for one person to be saved. When we get that understanding of one person getting saved, friend of mine, this type of framework will be in our vocabulary. We will say there's joy in the presence of angels. Friend of mine, there's joy in our presence whenever somebody gets saved. Right here on this earth. Friend, if we was to hear down the road, Corinth has somebody saved, we ought to all rejoice. Yes. Amen. We ought to all be happy. This is a time frame that I kind of think we could understand, but I think it happens then. Now, and if I was to say, well, it happens now and then, or every once in a while, every time somebody gets saved, this happens in heaven. He didn't say, well, occasionally we'll have happiness in heaven. Every single time somebody gets saved, angel says, it's fixing to happen. What's fixing to happen? You just hang on, watch these folks. These folks go absolutely crazy. They're all of a sudden, they're happy, they're peaceful. They can't contain themselves, the joy. Friend, I don't know if heaven's that way all the time, but I kind of got a feeling it ain't nothing like we have down here. I kind of got a feeling that heaven has got to be a total opposite from what we're facing right down here. I kind of believe that whenever we talk about the hallelujah and praise and all that stuff that's going on, I kind of believe that's the atmosphere that's going on there on a, and I hate to say it, daily basis, because there's not days up there. But I have to say it this way to understand it. That kind of environment is not what we understand. That's a then. I'm going to call it a then. Just give me time. Then this happens. Then means it's automatically. In other words, if I push A, I'm expecting B to be next. And then I'm expecting C, okay? I'm not allowed to skip steps along the way. If you see somebody saved, then this is going to happen. That ought to be automatic. You know why I'm saying that? Friend of mine, it ought to be automatic right here when we meet. We start getting our mind off this world and put it in that world. Amen. Ain't that how we're supposed to go to church? They that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. We ought to get our mind on what happens then. What happened? What is going to happen next? Turn your Bible. We're not going but three places this morning, halfway through. All right? You believe that? We'll just hang on and we'll just believe that. Luke chapter 6, just a few pages over. I want you to listen. What happened then? It's the next step. The next step. The next step must begin with chapter 6, verse 18. You're going to have to read with me. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they that were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. Everybody that wanted to touch Jesus, okay? For there went virtue out of him. Other gospels say it a little different way, but listen, there he perceived that virtue went out when somebody would touch him. Watch this. And heal them all. Okay? And heal them all. Whenever they would touch him, bam, healed. Bam, healed. All right? And friend of mine, that would be the best doctor in the world to go to. If we could go to a doctor and touch that doctor and get healed, man, we'd line up. All right? We wouldn't have no sickness. We wouldn't have no ailments. We don't have that kind of doctor. We don't even have a good witch doctor that way, okay? Watch this. This is going on. And he lifted up his eyes. Now, this is Jesus fixing to talk. And he lifted up his eyes unto the disciples and said, blessed be ye poor. Now, if I was to ask everybody in here that knew the Beatitudes, we could all, man, we could get in there and we could quote a few of them. But listen as we read them. Blessed be the poor. Be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now. You notice the difference in the words. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom. Blessed are they that are ye that hunger now. Because here's the reason. You be filled. Now,
just hang with me on, don't just all of a sudden think beans and taters, okay? Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Watch this. He just said some very critical things that people could do to you. Watch. Verse 23. Rejoice. Rejoice. Wait a minute. Rejoice ye in that day. Now, wait a minute. Remember what I talked about, a then? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen when A, the E follows with B? If you follow this right here, if you do this, this is going to happen. If you repent of your sins, you can be saved. Listen, rejoice. When people get after you, when people, all kinds of manner of evil against you, when they come after you like they come after me, you got to follow this. When this happens, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. I think we must have read the wrong version here, because it said rejoice, be happy, not just, oh, praise the Lord. Now, none of that stuff. We're talking about what happens in heaven when somebody gets saved. It ain't none of this, well, I gotta show my dignity. I can't sit there and really, I can't really rejoice. I can't just say, well, just a little amen and get over. Friend of mine, we're so stove up that we're afraid to be happy. We're afraid to rejoice. We're afraid to let the Lord light in our heart like he ought to be. The scripture said there's happiness going on in heaven whenever somebody gets saved. Why is there not happiness right down here? Because that's exactly how the Lord was saying what was going on. When people start after you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to rejoice and then get to the point where you can leap for joy. Now, I don't know about you, but my leaping days is kind of first spent, okay? But what does that mean? Leap for joy. That means you can't contain yourself. That means there's something inside of you bubbling up like a well of that water that the woman from the well drank from, not the one that had that liquid water. But when Jesus said, I have meat to eat, you know not of, that's the kind of water we need to drink from. We need to rejoice and have great joy and leap for joy when what happens? When people are after us. When people don't like what we do. When people hear what we do and they don't like it. We just got to understand that's what they're doing up there. Why can't we be happy right now? Why? Can't we be happy right now? Friend of mine, if you want to see something crazy, drive down the road listening to gospel music and you'll see some crazy folks. Friend, get you one of them podcasts or get you something on YouTube or something and put it on there and you can be listening to that, and all of a sudden if you get the right stuff on there, all of a sudden you'll be acting a little bit crazy too. If you get your Bible, and there's some out there that'll be sit there and just read it all for you, and you don't even have to read it. You can just hear it and all. If you're not careful, you'll find something to come along right there, and you'll be acting a little crazy too. In other words, if you get around God, and God gets around you, all of a sudden, you can rejoice when nobody else around you is rejoicing. And you can be happy when nobody else is happy. Now, it's a little crazy looking, but it really don't matter if you're doing what God wants you to do.
That's right.
It really don't matter. You can be around some of the deadest singing, the deadest preaching, the deadest church you ever seen in your life and have a good time in God if you get where you need to be with God. Amen. Rejoice. Leap for joy. Told you wouldn't be here long. We're not. Go to the third spot, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to this. I love the book of Hebrews. I wish we had a lot of time, but verse 31. I'm just going to read the three verses. Verse 31. The Bible says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. If we've heard that once, we've heard it a million times. Well, watch this. Listen. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But call to remembrance. That means, but call to remembrance means yesterday. Now I've already told you that whenever I expect A, I expect what's next. I know if I do A, B's coming next, all right? I know if I am persecuted, that's a now thing. We're going to talk about a yesterday, not the yesterday that we was singing about earlier. Not before we got saved. I'm talking about since I have been born again, since I have been saved. See, there's some times in my life that I rejoice and I forget about it. Now listen to me well. Sometimes we lose our testimony. When I say lose it, it ain't gone. We just are not using it. And if you don't use your testimony, if you don't depend on your testimony, if your testimony means nothing, well, just let me read this. The Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, but call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated. Now that lets you know that you got born again. That's when you lit up. That's a good way to say it, all right? When you were lit up, when all of a sudden you had a reason to shine. You see, before you get saved, you ain't got no reason to shine. Before you get saved, you don't want to shine. But a friend of mine, on the very moment, the very instant that you get saved, God changes out the old bulb and puts a new bulb in. And you are now lit up. Where you weren't lit up, you are now lit up. In the very moment that you got lit up, remember what's going on in heaven? Now remember, it didn't mean much to you then because whenever you got saved, you didn't know there was something going on in heaven. You didn't know that. A preacher could have sat there and said, well, if you'll get saved today, there's going to be shouting in heaven. That wouldn't have meant 2 cents to you. Mm-mm. The only way it means something, if you're on the receiving end. If you're on the receiving end. Now, I wasn't worried about somebody in heaven shouting. I'm not worried about that. Friend of mine, whenever I got saved, I knew I was lost, but this illumination, this whenever that happened, I want to call to your remembrance. I want you to remember how it was. I want you to think about it. Listen, I call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great flight of afflictions. Partly whilst you were made in a gazing stock, both by reproaches, afflictions, and partly while you become companions of them that were so used. Verse 34, and I hush. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds. Now, how in the world can a lost person have compassion for anybody else? You can't. Or you might say, well, I care. But no. There's a difference. If you listen to Dusty's Sunday school class this morning, he mentioned different types of love. There's love that lost people have. And there's a love that God's people have. There is a love that you can love your wife before you get saved, but friend of mine, you'll love your wife differently after you get saved. Listen to me and listen to me well. Whenever you get saved, over a period of time, you might begin to grasp a little and a little and a little and a little more. John 3:16 didn't mean nothing to you. You get saved, all of a sudden it means a little bit more. The longer you're saved, the more it means. The next thing you know, you got 10 more verses or 20 more verses. The next thing you know, oh, here's the reason why I'm saying it. You keep building on verses. You keep building on testimony. You keep building on experiences that you face in church, out of church. You face people that you witness to and they get saved. All of those experiences. And then there comes a time when God calls this to your remembrance. You know, sometimes, just like it does good in heaven whenever somebody gets saved, sometimes it does us good to remember what God did to me in my Christian life. Sometimes in my Christian life, oh, I like the now stuff. I like today. I like singing. I like rejoicing. I like the testimonies. I like all that. But sometimes I get to rejoice at what God has brought me through. I've been to many a funeral. Too many. And if the Lord tarries and I still live a little while longer, I'm probably go through a few more. And I have told folks my best advice is to depend on the Lord. Don't depend on the preacher. You depend on the Lord. And I can say that beyond a shadow of a doubt, if they've been born again and you can talk that reality to them, you can say there is going to come a better day. But on that particular day, their heart is broken. On that, you can't help it. And I'm not going to tell you not to cry. You know what I'm going to tell you? God's got a plan. God's got this plan. And there's going to come a time when you're going to remember that day and it might bring a tear. But you're going to remember how you and God worked that plan out on that day. Because I got news for you. Every time you come to God's table needing grace, God puts it on the table. I mean, I've never went hungry whenever I'd ask God for grace and mercy. God always has fed me. God's always given me peace whenever I needed peace. God's always given me comfort when I needed comfort. God's never, ever left me alone. God's always supplied it. And friend of mine, my yesterdays, oh, I can look and see ever, but there's been times in my yesterdays when I could say, poor, pitiful me, and God would call some remembrance that was always bringing the good times in Him. Sometimes we lose the joy of our salvation just like David did. Now this morning, remember that first verse that we read? That one that was a then. What happens now can bring a then happen. There is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repenteth. You know what happens? It kind of gets us all enthused. It makes us want to step a little higher every time we see somebody walk that aisle. It don't matter who it is when somebody walks that aisle. It's just a greater blessing when it's your kinfolk. It's a greater blessing when it's you, because there is joy in heaven. Are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rejoice. I'm ready to be one of those in that rejoicing mode. But as long as God's got me right down here, let me sometimes go back to yesterday, but let me live today. Oh, let me rejoice today because of what God has. What's God done for you? What's God done for you? Brother Herschel, he won't mind me telling this story. It's not about him. Brother Herschel's coming to church this morning. His neighbor had a dead cow. Now, he called his neighbor and said, so-and-so, I got bad news for you. You got another one that's died. And I'm thinking,
If I seen Herschel's phone number call on me, and I'm a neighbor, I ain't answering Herschel's phone call. Because if all he's going to do is say another cow died, I don't want Herschel to call me. Don't you call me, Herschel. I don't want none of my cows dying. But you see my point? If all Herschel does is call with bad news, don't call me. You know why? Every time I hear from God, it ain't bad news. It's good stuff. God's never been bad to me. He's always had me right where He wants me to be. Thank God that I get to go to where He is forever. Oh, ain't that good? He's good to us. He's better to us than we deserve. I get to rejoice right now. But I get to rejoice because there's a better day coming. Oh, it's a good day whenever you get to go to heaven. And if you're not prepared to go, you can go. And you can go today. We can rejoice together. Would you come, Brother Gordon, a song? I don't know your heart or your life, but I know Him. And I know that's what's important in my life is to know Him. To know Him beyond a shadow of a doubt, that means everything in the world. How about you? Do you know Him? Has God made an impression on your heart that nobody else can make? See, that's what salvation does. And Jesus is the only way you'll ever be saved is through His shed blood. Stand to our feet. Sing a verse. If God's speaking to you, you come. Would you come to know Him in a free pardon of sin?